ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीतान्यं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा पुरुषदेवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरदस् अर्थेष्वपि ज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत् सूरय तेजोपारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोचितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वरसद्यो हृद्यमरुध्यनेत्र कृतिभिशुश्रूषुभिः तक्षणं कल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुवेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमज्जुभाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेघम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरबुद्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाधृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजम्बदां मुरारेर्मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशायासां हरिकलोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं कृतिवाहयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूगं करोति वाचालं भङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीराधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேன்ட் 11 சாப்டர் 12. நரோதயதி மாம் யோகோ ந சாங்கியம் தர்ம ஏவ ச ந ஸ்வாத்யாய தபஸ்தியாகோ இஷ்டாபூர்த்தம் ந தட்சிணா பிரதானி யஜ்ஞ்சந்தாம்சி தீர்த்தானி நியமாயமாஹ யதா வருந்தே சல்சங்கம் சர்வசங்காபஹோ சங்காபஹோ ஹி மாம். சல்சங்கேன ஹிதைதேயா யாதுதானா மிருகாஹ ககாஹ கந்தர்வா அப்சரசோ நாகாஹ சித்தா சாரணகுஹ்யகாஹ வித்யாதரா மனுஷேஷு வைஷ்யாஹ சூத்ராஹ ஸ்திரியோ அந்தியஜாஹ ரஜஸ்தம பிரகதயஸ்தஸ்மின் யுகே அனகாம் பிருகவோ மல்பதம் பிராத்தா த்வாஷ்டகாயாதவாதயா மிருஷபர்வா பலிர்பாணோ மயல்ச்சாத விபீஷணாஹ சுக்ரீவோ ஹனுமான் ரக்ஷோ கஜோ வ்ரத்ரோ மணிக்பதாஹ வியாதா குப்ஜா வ்ரஜே கோபியோ யஜ்ஞவத்ஞஸ்ததா பரே தேனாதீத ஸ்ருதிகணா நோபாசீத மகத்தமாஹ அவ்ரதா தப்த தபசா சத்சங்கான் மாம் உபாகதாம். ஸோ வி வர் டிஸ்கஸிங் லாஸ்ட் சண்டே அபவுட் தி க்ளோரிஸ் ஆஃப் சத்சங்கம். சத்சங்கம் வாஸ் அவர் டாபிக். கிருஷ்ணா ஆஃப்டர் ஸ்பீக்கிங் எ லாட் ஆஃப் திங்ஸ் இன் தி ஃப்ரம் சாப்டர் 7 ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ் வி சா இன் தி ஏகாதச ஸ்கந்தம் கிருஷ்ணா ஸ்டார்டட் ஸ்பீக்கிங் அபவுட் தி தத்துவம் டு உத்தவா. உத்தவன் தத்துவ ஜிஞாசுர ஆத்மனா உத்தவா சாட் தேர் வித் தி டிசையர் டு நோ த ட்ரூத் தத்துவம். ஸோ கிருஷ்ணா ஸ்டார்டட் ஃப்ரம் த 7th சாப்டர் ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ் உத்தவோபதேசம் இன்ஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன்ஸ் டு உத்தவா ஹேஸ் ஸ்டார்டட். ஸோ after all that, we will go back to that little later. After all that, Krishna has said that Uddhava, in spite of all that, what I have told you, if you just get satsangam, it's higher than all that thing. Higher in the sense, the power of satsangam is something which you cannot even imagine, Krishna says to Uddhava. And then in order to substantiate that, Krishna said, those who are forbidden to study Shastram, and even they, those who are even forbidden to study Shastram, for example, generally, Traivarnikas, among them, normally Brahmanas and Kshatriyas study Shastram, but among them, Brahmanas have the complete freedom to go through the Shastram in depth. Generally, that is the rule. Others do not necessarily study Shastram. They need to study Shastram. So, the Krishna's point was that even those who haven't got eligibility, adhigaritam, to study Shastram, they have got liberated through satsangam. They have got liberated through satsangam. If it is like that, Krishna says, what to talk about those who have faith and who follow the sadhana prescribed in the Shastram? Is there any doubt about them that through satsangam they can rise above everything? This was Krishna's question to Arjuna. Sorry, to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, those who have not even had the eligibility to study Shastram, who normally do not get the opportunity, nor they had the qualification to understand Shastram properly, even they get liberated through the power of satsangam, association with the sajjanam or the pure devotees of the Lord. If it can happen, what about those who are studying Shastram and who follow the injunction, Shastric injunctions? What can happen to them? Then, Krishna is not saying you don't need any of those things, that you can continue. But the benefit or the spiritual advancement or the spiritual realizations, what come from Shastram, from satsangam, is not there in anything else. That is the point Krishna is making here. That you will not get anywhere else. This is the potency of the power of the Shastram. That, and Krishna gave examples of who all. Krishna gave examples of cows, animals, trees, rakshasas, demons, and then vidyadharas, charanas, guhyagas. And Krishna spoke about those who are born in the demoniac families. And Krishna says all of them, through association, they went back to the spiritual world. Just to indicate to us that none of them, imagine trees don't have the capacity to study Shastram or to realize the truth in that way. Generally, we are supposed to study Shastram and realize the self by practicing the instructions in the Shastram. This is what the normal system is. But even that, did not happen to the birds, the beasts, and the trees, and so many others. Even they got liberated by satsangam, Krishna says. So just imagine the power of satsangam. This is an important thing in the 12th chapter, what Krishna is going to discuss it now. Krishna is going to explain to us that what is satsangam and how does satsangam works. And through satsangam, how one got to that situation. That Krishna has spoken about that. This qualification and disqualification for studying Shastram does not apply to satsangam. For Shastram, study Shastram, one should have certain qualifications, isn't it? And there is qualification, disqualification also. Adhikaritvam, adhikaritvam it's called. That doesn't apply for satsangam. Satsangam is a open thing. That's one important thing Krishna says there. Sometimes Krishna says, the realization what you receive from satsangam, you won't even get it from studying Shastram or by reflection. Mananam. It may not happen. That is the, this is some satsangam, you have to understand properly what it means. We'll come to that. But satsangam, the power Krishna is saying first, that even what the realization what you will receive through studying the Shastram or practicing austerities and penances or engaging in various kinds of upasana, sadhana, even that cannot match with the satsangam. That will not, even higher than that, sometimes realizations, devotees and jnanis get from satsangam. Krishna says here that so, in order to explain that, Krishna mentioned in this verse 7, he says, Tenadhida Shudiganaha, Nobhasida Mahatamaha, Avrada Taptatapasaha, Salsangamam Upahadaha. Krishna says, he says, take the best example he starts, begins with. Tenadhida Shudiganaha, gopis by birth, they were not having a very higher birth. They were ordinary people who lived in Vrindavanam, sold milk and butter and made a normal life like many people do in this world. Isn't it? Tenadhida Shudiganaha. They never had an opportunity to study any Shastram. If you ask them what are the four Vedas, they won't be able to tell you. They never had that opportunity to study any Shastram. Nopasida Mahatamaha. Did they get any opportunity to hear from any great souls or who gave them some special mantra to chant or given an initiation or anything like that? Nothing. Gopis were not initiated, do you know? They were not initiated. And Nobhasida Mahatamaha, Avrada Taptadavasaha, that they have not executed any severe penances either. If you look into the gopis' daily routine life, what you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that they never had any severe austerities or penances. The only one penance is that too, in a playful way, they conducted their Kartyayani Vratam when they worshipped Sri Parvati in the season. So, you can see, avradaha tapta tapasaha. They have not executed any serious or any severe austerities or penances. But salsanganmam upahadaha, that due to salsangam, they have reached the topmost position. Krishna is giving a proof to us by quoting the gopis. By quoting the gopis, Krishna is saying, they never studied anything, they never performed any austerities and penances, they didn't serve any great souls in any way, nothing happened to them, they were not serving anybody. They were just living their life. But what happened? Salsangam mam upahadaha. That salsangam has taken them to this glorious position. And who worships them? Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and many others. All the great devotees, they all worship the gopis. Isn't it? All the great personalities, they worship the gopis. How did they reach to this state in their spiritual life? Salsangam. Krishna says satsangam, nothing else. That is the beauty of satsangam. So satsangam, Krishna gives anything importance in Srimad Bhagavatam, above chanting, above Srimad Bhagavatam studying or reading, above deity worship, above everything else is satsangam. Krishna gives importance to satsangam. Because Krishna knows more than anyone else that what it can do to people. Those who have taken satsangam, got satsangam in other words to say, and who had the good opportunity to take to spiritual life in that way, they never ever came back. They went back to spiritual world straight away. So through these verses you can see, Krishna has mentioned about satsangam very strongly. Now, in the past, satsangam is the purifying process, because satsangam actually purifies a person. Even before going to see the deity, it's important to hear, to be in the satsangam before seeing the deity. You can experience yourself if you hear, if you had associate, if you heard about Krishna for some time, then you go and see the deity, it will be different. It will be definitely different. The reason for that is satsangam brings that Krishna consciousness inside straight away, within an hour or half an hour, whatever it is, satsangam you had, that will purify the person ready to see the deity. You will see Krishna as the Supreme Lord at that time. So only in today's world, all this system has started of queuing up to see the deity for darshan and all that. This is all modern things. But in the past, in the ancient times, when the temples were built, the system was people first went and associated and heard about the Lord before they went to see the deity. By doing that way, when they saw the deity, they had the right consciousness while seeing the deity at the temple. After hearing about Krishna, when you see Krishna is different than when you see Krishna and hearing about Krishna later. So anyway, he's saying here that in the past the temple was actually meant for satsangam. Deity worship came later. Deity worship was started later, but satsangam is the beginning. Through satsangam, people had taken advantage of the realizations of the from the Shastram, and that has helped them to understand the position of the deity, Krishna's position as the deity form, and also the living entity's situation. So, a lot of things in that way connected with that. Now, how does this satsangam works for gopis? Uddhava asks these questions to Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava that actually, Uddhava, I consider myself as worthwhile associating with for someone, because I don't think myself as the Supreme Lord from the Golokam or anything like that. That's not my nature. My nature is, if somebody associates with me, they will come to that benefit of satsangam, they will receive from that. And that's exactly what has happened to gopis. Gopis never thought about Krishna as the Supreme Personality who came down from Golokam or anything like that. Throughout their childhood, if you look, Krishna's childhood, Krishna came, they got attracted to Krishna. That was satsangam. Krishna's first mercy began with that. And when they received that mercy, little by little the attraction developed, with the result that all attachment to material world vanished, completely disappeared. And then inside the thoughts developed so strongly that being separated from Krishna was unbearable for them. So what happened? Tenadhida shriganaha nopasida mahattamaha avrada taptadavasaha salsanganmam upahadaha. That without going through all the other things, what normally a person has to do in this world, that was all, how do you say, bypassed. All bypassed straight away. Don't have to do all that thing. And simply by Krishna's association, Krishna says he calls himself a Sajjanam. Sajjanam means one who is worthwhile associating with. So due to the association with Krishna, gopis reach that status. Gopis reach that status. Krishna will say eventually, later, about this to Uddhava also. Nathadame priyadama alpayo nirna shangara naja sangarshanam nashri naiva alpa jayada bhavan. While speaking to Uddhava, Krishna says, Nathadame priyadama alpayo nirna shangara. Lord Shiva is not so dear to me. Rukmini Devi is not dear to me. നജ സംഘർഷണം ശ്രീ നൈവാത്മാ ജയഥാ ഭവാൻ നോർ സംഘർഷണമൂർത്തി ബലറാം ഈസ് ഡിയർ ടു മീ ന ശ്രീ ലക്ഷ്മീദേവി ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഡിയർ ടു മീ ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് യു യു ആർ മച്ച് മോർ ഡിയർ ടു മീ ദാൻ ഓൾ ഓഫ് ദം ജസ്റ്റ് ടു ഷോ ദാറ്റ് ഉദ്ധവ ഗോട്ട് സോ പ്യൂരിഫൈഡ് ബൈ കൃഷ്ണസ് അസോസിയേഷൻ മോർ ദൻ എനിവൺ എൽസ് that Krishna decided that let Uddhava have the benefit of my association. As soon as Krishna decided, from then it starts, the satsangam has started from there. So when we go through this Ekadasha Skandam now in this verses, you will notice one thing there, that satsangam also degree, the benefit from satsangam can vary. Benefit from the satsangam can vary. In the lowest level of satsangam is the person only talks about Krishna and constantly talks about the truth from the Shastram. And continuously by hearing that, you will feel that change happening inside. Constantly hearing about Krishna, constantly hearing the Shastram, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and due to constant association with the Shastram through a person, that is a satsangam. That is in the lowest level. The lowest level is like that. The constantly hearing Shastram and Krishna's instructions through someone, and that having a direct impact on you, and constantly he is talking to you about the truth in the Shastram. That means about the realizations, about the absolute nature of the soul, and the temporary nature of the material world, and all what is discussed in the Shastra. In other words, through discussions through Shastram, one has satsangam. That is in the lowest category. After that, you go to the next stage. There are acharyas who will come and they have to speak and they'll go. That's enough. If you just hear them, it will go so penetrating inside and it will start working from inside. It will start working from inside. Great, great personalities. They were like that. Who could speak from the... But they won't have much association with the people. Direct personal association won't happen in their case. They'll just present the truth to you. But because there is so much purity inside, in that personality, the Mahatma, has such a great purity inside, whatever he has spoken, it will have such a powerful impact, on the person, that he will give up all his other desires and to release himself from the material life. This desire will come strongly inside. And then on, he will get out of this. He will go back to the spiritual world eventually through his further. Once a desire is planted inside, then that desire will start growing and he will get that opportunity to associate with people like that again, and he will make a success of life. That is the second stage. Then there is another stage after that, a third stage, where there are some Mahatmas who are even higher than this, who will just speak. Even if you have not understood anything, that will do the job. Imagine that. Even you have not understood anything, just by hearing their words, what they have spoken, what you have heard, that will do the job automatically. You don't have to even understand everything what they have said. In the last case, you will hear and then you will think about it, and it will develop that purity inside. In the next stage, if you have just heard it, that is enough. You don't have to even understand what they have spoken. And after that, the last stage is, if you just see them, that's enough. Some Mahalpas are like that. If you just see them, they can do that power. They have that power to transform you just by looking at you. They had that capacity to do that, to change another person in that way, through their power to change others. So at different levels, satsangam happens. At different levels, satsangam happens. So here, when we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, in Gopi's case, what has happened? You can get the best satsangam in the whole creation, they got it. That's why Krishna never discussed anything with them. Krishna just lived his childhood with them. That was enough. Satsangam was enough for them. That is what Krishna is later on what happened. Ramena sartham maduram pranitam shvabhalkino mai anurakta chitaha
വിഘാടഭാവേന നമേ വിയോഗം തീവ്രാദയോന്യം ദദൃശു സുഖായ. ഇനി സുഖദേവ ഗോസ്വാമി സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ടു ഉദ്ധവ, കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ, രാമേണ സാർത്ഥം മധുരാം പ്രണീതം. I was going with Balaram. I got into the chariot, right? I got into the chariot to go to Mathura. When Krishna left to Vrindavanam after 12 years of satsangam they had with gopis, isn't it? Gopis had 12 years satsangam with Krishna. So after these 12 years, Krishna decided to go to Mathura. Krishna felt that they are now fully fixed in spiritual life due to the association. That is how fortunate gopis were. That they didn't have to go through all this what we have to go through in life. Just that 12 years association with Krishna has made them to develop that bhakti, that purity in them. So Ramena Sartham Madhuram Pranitam, when Krishna decided boarded the chariot with Balaram to go to Mathura, Shobhalkinam my Anurakta Jitaha. Shobhalka is Akrura. Akrura was driving the chariot. They stood there. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see how the gopis experienced that departure of Krishna. Vikhada bhavena name viyogam. That they could not bear that separation from Krishna. They could not bear that separation from Krishna. And what all the gopis did at that time in Vrindavanam while seeing Krishna off. That due to that separation they were experiencing from Krishna, it started coming out in different ways. Their emotional ecstasies, what you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how they cried and many of them surrendered to pray to Krishna that this separation may not, should not last very long. And in many ways they were feeling that. Vikhada bhavena name viyogam. Name viyogam. That this viyogam, separation from Krishna, was unbearable for them. Tivradhayonyam dadrushu sukhaya. Dadrushu sukhaya. That the separation was so much for them that they never felt any happiness anywhere in this creation. Imagine that. They felt they can never be happy in the absence of Krishna. So this is the power of association. Association power. So association is not a cheap thing. Association is a very valuable thing. Association is a very valuable thing. And if you look at that association, what Krishna had with the gopis, what was that association? If you read the different chapters in the Bhagavatam, 7th, 8th chapter, you will see. Association was just playing with the gopis, isn't it? Stealing their butter and other things and giving them as much trouble as possible. Krishna, in his childhood, what he has done, all those pastimes, childhood pastimes, Balalila it's called, that was the association what they got from Krishna. And often it ended up in complaining to Yashoda Devi about Krishna's, the troubles Krishna has given to them. This is how it culminated it. And in all these times, Krishna was constantly, the gopis were constantly engaged in talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, complaining about Krishna, and discussing with Yashoda Devi, nothing else. Nothing else in their heart, in their mind. There was no other thought. They've forgotten about their own children, their own husbands, everything. They complete everything. So it says here that there was nothing in their mind except Krishna. That was the stage at that time. By the time 12 years of association, gopis had nothing else left in their heart except Krishna. That and this was their satsangam actually. That therefore all other thoughts, the mind was virtually released from the illusions. Maya has completely gone away. They were not thinking anymore in terms of any other plan making. Everything stopped for them. And they were not performing spiritual life like the way the people who perform sadhana, they do. There was no sadhana. Getting up in the morning, thinking about Krishna. Going to bed at night, thinking about Krishna. Throughout the day, playing with Krishna, serving Krishna or enjoying with Krishna. This is the beauty of spiritual life. When Krishna gave this kind of spiritual life, he demonstrated through that pastimes to us that spiritual life is also enjoyable
in that sense. Then, then, so the result was that Krishna has completely manifested inside and all other illusions have gone away from inside. Why do we do all the sadhana? To purify inside, isn't it? To control the mind, to subdue the mind, and to stop all other thoughts coming in. That is why we execute sadhana. And what we could, we may not achieve or succeed in doing after many years of sadhana, in these 12 years of association with Krishna has brought to them. So that's it, another important point. Then, when we worship the deity, for example, when we worship the deity, or when you bathe in holy rivers like Ganga River, Yamuna River, or famous rivers like that, which considers the holy rivers, only over a long period of time it will bring some purity to us. Just because once your bathroom came back, it's not going to have such an impact on us, because the power of Tirtha means the holy rivers, and the power of what we call as the deity worship, that will all happen gradually over a long period of time. To do that, one has to first realize that Ganga Devi is a Tirtha, isn't it? One has to come to that realization also. But on the other hand, Krishna says that just by the association of just by seeing a Mahatma, a great soul, you are immediately purified. Ya tirtha buddhi, that's why Vedavyasa Maharshi said in the Bhagavadam, yasya atma buddhi kunape tridhatuke sodhi kalatradishu bhauma ijyadi. Ya tirtha buddhi salile na karhichil janeshu abhinyeshu sa eva ghokhara. That he says there, Vyas is saying there, that one who considers himself body, identifies with his body, so and worships the land of birth and place or place of birth, worshipable, and one who also thinks tirtha buddhi means thinking the holy rivers as simply another river where water is flowing, and in that way, if you take that, it is not going to be very good, because salile na karhichil. Janeshu abhijneshu sa eva ghogara. All people who are doing that, they're bathing in Ganga River, Yamuna River, thinking that this is another river to bathe. Because to get that consciousness is difficult. It is very, very difficult to get that consciousness of a first-class devotee and to bathe in Ganga River. It's not easy. We will say all these things and we'll come back and report to everybody else that we have done all these things. But in reality, we will notice that these things do not happen very easily. It doesn't happen easily. We have to admit this. This is our short, defect in us. Conditioned soul means all this. That we initially, we may think that, oh, I went and bathed and I got, only inside you feel that, oh, I have been benefited. But how far have we progressed in spiritual life? That's unknown yet. But association with a great soul is not like that. Just by seeing him itself, there are many people who have said that also. And if you take to the life of any great devotees or jnanis, you will see that they had this association at some point in time with someone in their spiritual life. And while Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken, Krishna gives importance to this. But at the same time, does that mean, now that I have got the opportunities for satsangam, that I won't do anything else? That's not what it means. When you have no satsangam, you have to practice the prescribed sadhana. That has to be done. Prescribed sadhana has to be done. And even if sometimes people, and this inquiry inside has to build up inside. Majority of our case, what the problem is, we have no even desire developing inside for spiritual life, isn't it? Most of us, we realize there is something there, but we don't know, we're not just getting it, we say. Isn't it? I've done all these things, but still there's something missing, I'm not getting it, they say. So doubt starts coming up, building up inside. Is this all worth so much time I'm spending in life? And is it all worth? So these thoughts will develop. Then,
It will be very nice if we can simply accept everything what Shastra says and realize the truth with full faith in the Shastram and full faith in our and executing sadhana based on that. It will be very good. But the reality is that it's not going to happen. In normal life, it is not possible to do that. To the stage of self-realization, I'm saying. You may make some progress by executing sadhana and by engaging in deity worship and by doing all the other things. You may make some progress. But come to the platform of self-realization is very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Though, so these questions, what should we do one in that case? Sometimes we say that sometimes people don't have, they're atheists, isn't it? They're atheists. They don't believe in God. So they will argue against this, saying that, that I'm an atheist, I'm not convinced about God. I don't want to accept God exists. And even if they have heard Shastram, they may not accept it. And sometimes they will come to a conclusion as an atheist in life. There are many, many atheists in this world, isn't it? Who don't believe in the existence of God or a higher power. So, from the Shastric point of view, actually, this atheist is better than a person who does not inquire seriously in spiritual life. He's better than a person who doesn't inquire, who just blindly accepts things without understanding what he is doing. An atheist is better. You may think a little difficult this thing, because sometimes you see people, they do things, everything you tell them, they'll just accept it without any thinking about it. In other words, not that you have to question everything what's been said. That's also not what it means. What it means is that certain people, their nature is like that. Oh, they'll hear something in one place, they'll go and say something else somewhere else, and then something else in another third place, and they'll accept all of it inside, and they'll never have any questions either. No doubts about anything, anybody, everywhere. No doubts anywhere about anyone, about anything. Imagine that state. This atheist is better than him. This person is very dangerous. Because atheist, what will happen is, after a long period of time, this atheist, for a long period of time, because he is thoughtful, after some time, he will come to some conclusions in his own life. And if he is a little bit fortunate, his clarity will get better. And if at that time he gets the right association with someone from the Shastram, his mind will click into that very well. Because he has that nature of thinking, thoughtful nature in him. He gets mental clarity, and some stage he will give up his atheism. Atheism, he will give it up. So, this is an important thing. On the other hand, other man, lazy fellow, has no hope at all. The other person, who is this lazy person, he has no hope at all. Because he has decided in his mind that I am not under any circumstances. I'll hear everything, but I'll do what I want. It's a hopeless situation in life. Very, very difficult situation. Impossible to retrieve that person. Practically impossible. Because he has decided this in himself, that I'm all this, oh, this is all stories, is it? How do I know who the word is? And then not only that, if you associate with that person in due course, he will pull you also into the same understanding. It will happen. This is not a this is not an unusual thing. It happens all the time. This is one thing to be careful in satsangam. In satsangam, if you take notice of these things, that fine, you have questions, you have doubts, but you should reflect. And satsangam is a powerful thing. If you give time to it, in due course of time, the change will happen inside, in a normal way. It's not an unusual thing, that how satsangam changes people. We have seen that in many, many instances. People who are very questioning everything and who are never accepted the existence of the Supreme Lord, who never believed in anything, who never believed in Maya, who never believed in a higher authority, they also had through satsangam progressed. We have ample proof for all these things. It's not a new thing. So here we were discussing this about Krishna's situation here. And Krishna says that they pray to Brahma, who in the verse 11 you will see there, that Ramayana, verse 11, you will see, Tasta kshapa preshtaramena neetaha mayaiva vrindavana gocharena kshanardhavata punarangatasam hinamaya kalpasama babum. Tasta kshapa preshtaramena neetaha mayaiva vrindavana gocharena kshanardhavata punarangatasam hinamaya kalpasama babum. It says here that they started saying that Gopi's attachment to Krishna has increased to such level that they started saying about Lord Brahma that Brahma has caused a lot of problems for us, because they say that you see the twitching in the eye, even that was, they were saying that why did Brahma do this to us, so that even during that time we will lose our vision of Krishna, we can't see him. Such was that strong attachment that has happened inside. And they also say here that maya eva kshanardhavatta punarangatasam kainam maya kalpasama babum. That that you can imagine that they were experiencing absence of Krishna as adhi, or a kind of a severe distress for the mind. Krishna's association was such that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller. So therefore, it is even higher than any other association in this world, about any other Mahatma. Therefore, they didn't require any instructions at any time. Just by seeing Krishna, they reach that state. Constantly seeing Krishna, they reach that state of consciousness. And therefore, they did not require any kind of tattvabhadesham, like Krishna did with Arjuna or with Uddhava. You don't see that happening. But even after reaching that level, it is normally required to have that at some point. And that is what Krishna did to gopis when gopis came to Samanta Panchakam. If you remember, that for the big solar eclipse, all the gopis assembled in Samanta Panchakam, in Kurukshetram. At that time, Krishna separately took them away and instructed them on the Absolute Truth. But that was only a formality to be finished. But they have reached that state of consciousness already that Krishna just had to tell them once and the release truth was realized by them completely. So now, this state what gopis have reached is a state of samadhi, isn't it? Yogis, jnanis, they execute so many activities in order to get to this state, to become completely absorbed in Krishna. And what it says there like this is this, that namam and rupam, the names and the forms on this creation, all slowly disappears. And that is the samadhi sthiti of a yogi. Yogi initially, after his ashtanga yogis, for example yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, and eventually they reach a samadhi state. And in the samadhi state, they have this state of consciousness which is called nirvikalpam, they say, which means that there is no more vikalpam. They have crossed beyond jagrat, sapnam, sushupti state. They come to the higher state. So in that state of consciousness, although they are in the body, they are completely absorbed in the truth. In Brahman, realization is complete for them. So, but to hold on to that is very, very difficult. There can be still some vikalpam coming from inside. And once the vikalpam comes, it will take over and then you fall from that position. So a great, great effort is required for the yogis to come to stay in that position. It is not easy. Not in one lifetime. It's very rarely one has achieved that in a lifetime. Many, many lifetimes. Same thing with the jnanis also. Jnanis also take a lot of time and for their higher realizations of the truth. But they also know that every time they realize the truth, they may not be able to stay in that position for very long. Soon they may fall from there. And when they reach that state, it is filled with the knowledge of the supreme super-realization. Self-realization is already there. It is that state gopis has been experiencing throughout in Krishna consciousness, in realization of Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the soul of everyone, isn't it? So, realizing Krishna and associating with Krishna means in complete self-realization, in other words. Complete self-realization. That anubhuti, that blissful experience, what you experience in association with Krishna is very much the same as the yogis and the jnanis experience in their realized state when they are in that spiritual consciousness. And this, the gopis attain that without hardly any effort. In a very easy way, they reach that state of consciousness. That's what he's saying, Krishna Darshan Lalasa. That gopis reach that state, they didn't have to practice it. It was a very automatic thing that happened to them without any practice of anything else. They did that. Then, in Krishna's, the sages experience that, which that what the sages experience in the absence of Krishna, gopis experienced that in their life in Vrindavanam. They didn't go to the forest, they didn't execute any severe austerities, any penances, just they lived their normal life. At the same time, they have experienced this Krishna consciousness. So, if one gets satsangam on a regular basis, nothing else is needed. This is what Krishna is saying. Nothing else is needed, but you have to get it on a regular basis. That's the most important thing. They didn't know Krishna as the Supreme Brahman, as the Absolute Truth or anything. They didn't know about that. They only saw Krishna as their beloved. Their relationship with Krishna was like that. And in that process, they joined Krishna eventually. In that process, they joined Krishna eventually. That many times when this happened to them, they didn't require any practice to do it. They didn't have to do it with any effort, because it was happening to them in an unknown way to them. You have to look back into Bhagavadam and see how the gopis were remembering Krishna in different times. In the Rasa dance, if you see, Rasa dance is a specific association Krishna given to them. Rasa dance is a specific association what Krishna has given to the gopis to associate with him. And the power of that association is what has made, you can see, the transcendental mellows, what gopis were experiencing in Rasa dance is a proof of that. The transcendental mellows, what gopis have experienced, they have forgotten everything, forgotten this whole creation, whole world. They even forgotten they had for family, husbands, children at home, old people at home. Everything was forgotten in that transcendental ecstasy gopis experienced. So here he says, Rasa dance and all other relationship with Gopinath as he is addressed as Krishna is all nothing but pointing out to this. And everybody else didn't get this association what Krishna has given to the gopis. So, in Bhagavatam, when we look at it, you will see here, Krishna is going to say something to Uddhava in the next verse. A lot of things are interconnected here. We will have to go back and forth many times. Tana vidanmayyanushanga baddhaha dhiyasvamalpmanam adhastathedam yatha samadho munayobdhidoye nadya pravishta iva namarube. Then Krishna is saying this. Krishna is saying that tana vidanmayyanushangabaddha dhiyasvamalpmanamadastathedam. Then Krishna says, because they got attached to me so strongly, he says here, and their mind got completely dissolved in me. Mind is the biggest problem, isn't it? We are working with all these things to control the mind. Mano nirodham. That's the idea behind it. That mano nirodham, controlling the mind, happened to them in such a way that there was no mind for them. Mind got completely absorbed in Krishna. But the result was that because the mind was so absorbed in Krishna, they never thought about the material body even. The material body they have completely forgotten. You can imagine the degree of the or the intensity of that Krishna consciousness inside. That when one starts remembering Krishna to such levels, and which happened due to their direct association with Krishna over this 10 or 12 years of time, that they have completely forgotten their own material body, which is the first symptom of a realized soul. The second thing what happened to them, the second upadhi, in other words, called the mind, has also dissolved. Why? The mind was completely absorbed in Krishna, in the truth. So, and intelligence was concerned, there was not much intelligence to get out, rid of. There was already, they were not having that kind of life. Intellectual level, they were not discussing the truth like they do in Oxford and Cambridge. They will have a bigger problem because this intelligence will come on the way. It won't allow them to know the truth. As soon as you take the book and start reading, intelligence will start from inside firing. So you will be in trouble. Whereas gopis haven't had that problem. The body and the mind was the main problem. Body, they've forgotten. And the mind, they were able to dissolve in Krishna completely. That in other words, it was completely samadhi state. Samadhi state. And here, yatha samabdhau munayo abdhidoye. Munayo abdhidoye. What is that means? It means that great sages, what they do, that they are, munayo means sages, munayo abdhidoye. That the rivers, big rivers, they keep coming and they fall into the sea or ocean and it gets dissolved, isn't it? Munayo abdhidoye. So here, Krishna also says here that once they dissolve, there is no more river. Ganga river, Yamuna river, Narmada, Kaveri, Sindhu, all these rivers are only in the land. Once they go and join the sea, what happens? Nothing exists, isn't it? There is no Ganga, no river, no Kaveri, no Narmada, nothing there after that. They are only in the land. Water is continuously flowing, we call them as river, particular name. Once they absorb, once they go and join the sea, their identity is finished, isn't it? The samadhi state is also, yatha samabdho munayo abdhidoye nadya pravishtam. So in other words, the namam and rupam, or the name and the form of that particular river, disappears as soon as they join the sea, isn't it? As soon as they join the ocean, the name and the form of that particular river, there is no more Kaveri, no more Ganga, no more Yamuna. The name is over. And there is no form also. The form what we see as Ganga river doesn't exist anymore. It's finished. So, Namarupa Vihaya, Namarupam has gone, finished, and they become one with the sea. So, Krishna says here, Dhyasvam Atmanam Athasthadhedam, that not only that they have forgotten their bodies and they never knew about their own identity was completely lost. Krishna has taken this from Mundaka Upanishad. If you look into Mundaka Upanishad, you will see the same statement, but Krishna used that here as just to strengthen the point. What he says here, yadha nadyaha syandamana samudrestam gacchanti namarupe vihayaha tatha vidvan a namarupa namarupa namarupad vimukta paratparam purusham upaidi divyam. This is the last verse in the Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad is saying that the yatha nadya syandamana samudre samudrestam gacchanti namarupe vihaya. Just like the rivers go into the sea and join them and lose their identity of name and form, tatha vidwan namarupadi mukta. Similarly, realized souls, vidwan, in other words, they'll be released from their namam and rupam, their name and form. Paratparam purusham upaidi divyam. They go and realize the truth and they become one with the truth. So this statement from Mundaka Upanishad, they have, Krishna has taken and used in Ekadasha Skandam in the same way. So, we're saying here that the gopis did not require any more practice from that. And we have also spoken before various other things. Now we have to go back to Uddhavadesham again. When we started,
Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. How did it begin? I don't know if anybody remembers. We've been talking for so many months now. If you have spent time to read, and if you have thought about it, it is good. But if you have not thought about it, we'll have to start again. So, originally, when Krishna started instructing Uddhava, Krishna did not instruct Uddhava till this stage of when Krishna was going to leave this world. If you remember that. Up to that time, Uddhava had association with Krishna, like gopis had. Uddhava had a lot of discussions with Krishna about various other things. But only at this point in time, Uddhava had this jijnyasu, inquisitiveness, to ask Krishna about the truth. And Krishna will only instruct if he finds that somebody had that desire to know from inside. Otherwise, Krishna would not instruct anyone. 112 years they were together. Krishna, Uddhava was his minister, and in so many activities, Uddhava was directly involved with Krishna. But never there was any discussion about the absolute truth. But now, when Uddhava found out that Krishna was leaving the planet, some fear came in. Immediately, the fear, what will happen to me? Krishna is gone, what will happen to me? So, that is when he started thinking, Uddhava started thinking, that what is my situation now? And where am I going? What's going to happen? All these thoughts came to Uddhava at that time, and he mentioned this to Krishna. It is then that Krishna called him and told him to sit down and started speaking to Uddhava, isn't it? That is how the 7th chapter began in Canto 11. So, there when he started, he told Uddhava, first thing what you do is, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu mayaveshya mana samyak samadrik vijara sogam. This is what the first instructions to Uddhava. If you remember that? That this is important verse. The whole Ekadasya Skandam is centered around this verse. Tundu sarvam parityajya. Give up all attachment to this world. Sneham svajana bandhushu. Your own people, your friends, family, all whatever attachment you have to anything in this world, give up all that attachment. First thing he said. Sneham svajana bandhushu. Then what to do? Mayaveshya mana. Fix your mind in me. Samyak. In such a way that it will not fall from there again. Samadrak. The result of that will be samadrak. You will see everything equally. Equal level means in Krishna's presence in everything. And then walk through this world to the spiritual world. Vijarasvagam, he says. So this is how the instruction started with Uddhava. Now if you go back into 7th chapter, if you go to understand this 12th chapter, you have to know the whole progress up to now, what we have studied in Ekadasya. I have a little understanding that the way it happened, because it is now that Uddhava is going to ask some questions to Krishna. And you will see the answers coming from Krishna has no connection with the questions. Completely irrelevant. And you will start thinking, if you have not studied the previous part of Ekadasham properly, if you read these verses now, what's going to come, you will not get anywhere. You will not understand what is this. What Krishna is saying, what Uddhava is asking is totally different things. So, to capture that, you got to go back and start from the 7th chapter. So, what happened? I'll just briefly go through that because in order to get a feel for the flow of things, how Krishna is instructing Uddhava. Krishna said, verse 6 in chapter 7 was Tundu Sarvam Parityajya. Isn't it? Verse 6 in chapter 7. That is where the instruction started. Do you remember? Verse 6 in chapter 7. That's where it started. And then Krishna fired some bullets at that time. One after the other. Remember that? Yadidam manasa vaja chakshubhyam shravana adivi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. That was the next verse. Krishna says, Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravana adivi. Whatever you are perceiving in this world with the mind and with all your senses, hearing, with the eyes, whatever you are seeing this, Nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. Understand Uddhava, they are all temporary. They have no permanent existence. And what else? They are coming from maya and they are coming from mind. The combination of the mind and the maya together has created this world in front of you. Krishna said that to Uddhava.
Krishna has never said this before in the Bhagavatam anywhere. It's the first time Krishna is saying this, the power of Maya. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, it is not spoken in this way about Maya. Maya, Krishna only talks about Devikesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya. That's all. But here, very bold statement. Yadidam manaso vaja chachubhyam shravanadibi nashuram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. It is mayamayam, it is manomayam. That means anything that is created by maya means it's temporary. It has no permanent existence. Anything created by the mind is also material and it is also, it's not permanent. It's also sankalpa vikalpa coming inside that. Then he said, next words, pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasak gunadoshabha karma karma vikarmedi gunadoshadhiyo bhidaha. Krishna also says there, pumso yuktasya nanartham, that all this nanartho buddhi, that so many things are existing in this creation, where does this all come from? He explains that there. That demigod form, human form, and all these things, and good, bad, all these things you see in this world. but unless one, punso ayuktasya nanartho brahma sa gunadosha bhag, unless all these things goes away from a person's mind, he gets freed from all these things. What are they? Ayuktasya, unless one controls his mind, and he will not be able to escape from this nanartham. Nanartham means to think that there are many, many things existing in this creation. Existing in this creation. Ayuktasya nanartho brahmasa gunadoshavan. Then karmam agarmam vigarmedi gunadosha dhiyo bhida. That gunandosham and gunadoshavan, brahmam, this is a brahmam. Brahmam means a kind of illusion that is built in us. There is good thing. To see something in this world as good, something as bad. Both are equally wrong from Krishna's point of view. That there is neither gunam nor dosham in any of these things. Because Maya is projecting this image in front of us. And we, in our mind, based on our vasanas, we select something as good and something as bad. From Krishna's point of view, because it is a product of the material nature, from Maya it has come, it does not have either good or bad in that. There is neither good nor bad in these things. That's the point Krishna is pointing at. So, gunadosha. But when Krishna mentioned all these things, tasmad, verse number 9, tasmad, yuktendriya gramo, yukta chittam idam jagal, altman ichasu vidadam, altmanam mayadhishware. This word tasmad is one of Krishna's favorite words. Everywhere he will say, tasmad, he will say. Often, in Bhagavad Gita also, he will say, tasmad uttishta kaundaya. In every one or two every chapter you will find this word tasmad, tasmad. Therefore, so he is saying to Uddhava, tasmad you came via grammar, because I have said these three things. Which one? Verse 6, 7 and 8. If you understand that, in the ninth verse, Krishna is saying tasmad, therefore, yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagan alpanichasya vidadam alpmanam mayadhishware. That Arjuna, there is only one thing that exists, that is the soul, nothing else. And see within yourself that thing, alpanichasya vidadam, that everything what you see in this creation is all situated within that soul, nothing else outside. We had discussed this verse in detail, so if you want to go back and listen to that, you will understand what that verse means. Atmanichasya vidadam, altmanam mayadhishware. That altma, everything, see within that soul, and also see the soul which is present in everyone. Krishna says, therefore, because of the three verses he has spoken before. And after that, he said, jnana vijnana samyuktam, altma bhuda sharirinam, that is verse 10. Altma anubhava tushtalma andarayar vihanyade. Dosha buddhya bhayadi do nishethana nivartade guna buddhya javihiram nakarodi yadharbhaga. So, in those two verses, jnana vijnana samyuktam atma buddha sharirinam, he is asking Uddhava that be situated in this situation of jnanam and vijnanam and understand that that it is the one soul that is running this, all material living entities are passing through this. And while situated within Alma Anubhava Tushtalma, then if you are situated in the soul, Tushtalma, you are experiencing that bliss. Andaraya Vihanyase, no other blocks can come on your way. So in other words, Krishna spoke to Uddhava at that point about the realized state of a personality of a spirit soul, when he is realized what will be state of consciousness. That's been spoken there. Then he continued discussing these things for many other things. He said, it was after that, after verse 12, you will see in the same chapter, in chapter 7, after verse 12, the instruction is over there. Krishna finished. In a very nutshell, Krishna spoke the truth, and Krishna also spoke about a person who has reached that state. That's what he has done. From verse 7, verse 6 to verse 12, Krishna has summarized Ekadasha Skanda very nicely. Only thing is, Uddhava did not understand anything. That's all what happened. That is why straight away Uddhava says to Krishna, Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogalma Yoga Sambhava Nishreya Sayame Prokta Tyagasanyasa Lakshana. That Uddhava says to Krishna, all Uddhava could do was, whatever you have spoken must be right, but I didn't understand anything. That's all you can do, isn't it? When somebody gives you, from a very, very higher level, if someone speaks, what happens? All you can do is that, thanks very much, whatever you have said, but I didn't understand anything. That's all you can do, isn't it? You can't do anything else. Because he's speaking from such a higher level. Whatever that's from verse 6 to verse 12, what Krishna has spoken, is from a much higher platform. It will appear as though it's such a simple thing. But if you analyze those verses, you can see, to bring that into realization is not an easy thing. Even after a lifetime, it's not possible to realize that. It's so much effort required. So, Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa. So, immediately Uddhava thought, the right thing for me to do now is like just Arjuna did. I surrender to him and tell him, please tell me what I should do. So, that is what Uddhava also did. Uddhava says to him, Yogesha Yoga Vinyasa Yogalma Yoga Sambhavaham. Then Nishraya Sayame Prokta Tyagasanyasa Lakshana. While hearing all these things, Uddhava got a smell of it, something from there. A lot looks like as though it's meant for a sannyasi. Sannyasi is supposed to have this state of consciousness, what Krishna is saying here. Krishna only takes them as sannyasis, not anyone and everyone as sannyasis. We take everybody as sannyasis based on the clothes and the. And we will see all types of sannyasis wandering around all over the world. But that is not Krishna's standard. Krishna's standard is different. Krishna says, these are the things with which I look at a sannyasi. This is what I expect from him. Later on, Varnashrama Dharma, when he discusses, he will put the very, very rigid specifications for a sannyasi. And if you see how many people are able to meet with that requirement also, how difficult it is. So, here he said, Tyaga Sannyasa Lakshanam. Whatever you have spoken is Tyagam, completely giving up everything. Is that not a sannyasi's job? He says, Uddhava says to Arjuna. And then also Uddhava said to Krishna, Tyagoyam Dushkaram Bhuman. It is very, very difficult for me to do all these things. Kamanam Vishayalpami Sadaram Toi Sarvatman Abhaktai Ridime Madhi. Unless one is a very advanced devotee who has known you so well, and unless he has your mercy, it is not possible to reach all this state what you have spoken to me. He says like this to Krishna, isn't it? Uddhava said that to Krishna. And then he also said one important verse there, verse 16 in the chapter 7. What did he say? Soham mamahamidi mudamadar vikhadam tvanmayaya virajidalmanisanubandhe tatvanjasa nigaditam bhavatayadaham samsadayami bhagavan anishadivrityam. And he says that tvanmayaya virajidalmanisanubandhe. This is the same verse like Arjuna when he surrendered to Krishna. What did Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna? Karpanya dosha bhakrda swabhava in the second chapter. Prachami tvam dharma samudade daha. Yashrayasya nishchinam bruhidanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam pravannam. This is the surrendering verse. Verse where Uddhava Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. And this is the verse where Uddhava surrendered to Krishna. There's no difference. Words may be different, but the message is the same. So hammamahamidi mudhamadir vikhadaha. That Uddhava now realized, I am a mudha. He is accepting that. Like Arjuna did, isn't it? Arjuna also said, I am a mudha. If a disciple don't take this position in front of a spiritual master, and especially a spiritual master like Krishna, you can imagine what that means. That according to the degree of surrender, the realization will come. When one realizes, like the way Arjuna surrendered to Krishna or Uddhava surrendered to Krishna, this surrender, they have to accept the first thing, as I mentioned before, I am a mudha. This is the first realization. I am a mudha. Normally, it is a very difficult thing for us to say that. Will anyone say, somebody else may call us mudha? Then we will say, all right, you do what you like, you say what you call me, I don't mind. Or we'll call back something more powerful than that. Send him away. Isn't it? This is our way of dealing with this world. But in spiritual life, if we have not come to this state of consciousness, you will never meet any Mahatma. This is the law. What people ask, where can I find a Mahatma? Where do I go for that? Well, the reason is this, that Mahatmas won't come looking for you. You will see the Mahatma when you come to this mudha state. So we have to wait till we become a mudha. There is no other option left. This is what Bhagavatam is teaching us, that spiritual life is not a joke, that you can do some rituals and get away from here like that. You don't fly like this from here. Before we get completely purified inside, Krishna is not going to give us this knowledge. That is absolutely certain. Qualification is the main thing. When we are pure to that degree, state of consciousness, this knowledge from inside will start trickling through. Because he is inside sitting there. That's why knowledge, we don't have to go outside anywhere. It's just that clearing up that mud inside. Clearing up inside. That's all it is. So Krishna is saying here, these two verses if you study, Karpanya Dosha Abhakrata Svabhava verse in Bhagavad Gita, and Soham Mamaham Idi Moodhamadir Vighada in Bhagavadam. You can keep these two things side by side and read through the translation and purport of these two verses and think about yourself, where am I here? What stage am I now? If Arjuna and Uddhava could say this to Krishna, we are not able to say to Krishna yet. We are still thinking we are intelligent, aren't we? And that is what the problem is. That this, unless sincerely and genuinely this feeling comes inside, that I am a mudha. So I am a maha mama aham. Why am I mudha? Mama hamidi. Me and mine. That is very, very strong in me. That has not gone. Uddhava is so honest and sincere about this. So aham mama hamidi mudhamadir vighadaha. That I mean, in this understanding I live my life, me and mine. That has never left me. Kartrutvam and Bhoktratvam. Isn't it? That is me and mine. Me and mine, so I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That is same in another way, it says Mamahamidi. So, Soham Mamahamidi, Moodhamadir Vighadaha. Because of that, I've been such an idiot, he says, Moodha. Moodha is a very common word used by all the great acharyas against us. Because if they don't use that word, we will do the same thing what we are doing yesterday and today and tomorrow. Same thing. That's why they said, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Mutamadhe. He says, Muta, stop this and start worshipping Krishna. There is no other shelter. So to come to bring us to that consciousness, sometimes you have to use some little strong words like that. Otherwise, only if you abuse somebody, he will get angry, isn't it? And will do something about it. Otherwise, they will not act. So, here also it is the same thing. Tvanmayaya virajidalpani sanubhandhi tatvanjasa nigaditam bhavadayadaham samsadhayami bhagavan anishadibhrityam. So, I won't go into the details. Basically, what Krishna Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Tvanmayaya virajidalpani sanubhandhi, that your maya has bound me so strongly and I have never understood the tattvam about you, who you are and what you are. I have not understood you. Then, but instruct me in such a way, Bhavan Anishadipati, I am your servant. Uddhava saying to Krishna, imagine after 112 years of association with Krishna as a friend, because Krishna didn't consider about Uddhava as a servant. Okay, Tumhe Tumno Bhritya Sukhut Sakha, he says at one point. You are my Bhritya servant, you are my friend, you are my associate. Everything you are. But he even said that Brahmayoni Atmayoni Shankara Naja Sankarshanam Nashri Naivatmaja Yadha Bhavan. None of them are as dear to me as you are. All these things Krishna has said before. And Uddhava naturally had a relationship with Krishna very much on a friendly level. That relationship was very, very strong. From that point to come to this point is not easy. Especially when you have a relationship with someone like that. To say to him that now I surrender unto you, I am Mudha, please instruct me. It's a big step forward in spiritual life, a big step down in the false ego level. Isn't it? That false ego to give up, it's not easy. It's not easy to give up that false ego. So Uddhava has done this, Arjuna has done this. The result was that Krishna gave Arjuna Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. So in the next verse you will see, Satyasya de sudasham alpanam alpanunyam vaktaramisha vipadeshva vimanu chakshe sarve vimohida diya tavamaya yesha brahma dayasthanibrada bhairata bhavah. And he also recognizes this position of Krishna as the absolute truth and saying to him, except you, there is no one else who has this ability to speak about the soul being situated on the spiritual platform all the time. That's the most important thing. All the time. So, in other words, Uddhava is recognizing, I have got the best spiritual master in the whole creation. This is what he is saying indirectly. I've got the best spiritual master in the whole creation. Why should I worry now? So let me take this advantage of this opportunity what I have got. And that is what was spoken. So when Krishna brought all these things in front of Uddhava, in front of Uddhava, and Uddhava asked all these questions, Krishna answered like, that is how Uddhavadesham started, isn't it? It was after that, what did Krishna do? Krishna said that Uddhava, to begin with, let me tell you about the importance of Vairagyam, detachment from this world. In order to explain that to us, he brought us the story of who? He brought us the story of Atreya Rishi, the Tatraya Maharshi story, in the chapter 24, Spiritual Masters. The Tatraya Maharshi, how he developed detachment from this world and what he learned and how he took spiritual instructions from 24 different spiritual masters. Krishna brought the Tatraya Maharshi and presented to Uddhava in front of him. That is what you will see there in the Bhagavatam in that conditions later. Later on you will see all those things for many few chapters, isn't it? 7, 8, all that. It goes between the discussions. Krishna is talking about King Yadu and Yadu's realizations. And there you have seen what each of those spiritual masters have spoken to Dattatreya Maharshi. So Dattatreya Maharshi was developing realizations from these different spiritual masters. So that is what was spoken there. As soon as you finish that, what do you see? As soon as you finish, that is finishing in the chapter 9, that was over. At that point, Krishna mentioned to them, to Uddhava, that there are certain things, Uddhava, one must understand. That while continuing Krishna's instructions, Krishna wanted to make Uddhava understand that Labdhva Sudarlabhamidam Bahusambhavandi, that is in chapter 9, verse 29. Krishna said, Manushyam Arthanam Anityam Abhiha Dhiraha, that one who has taken this understanding that human life is meant for self-realization, he is the most dear to me, Krishna says. He is very dear to me because he is not coming to me begging for food or begging for money or begging for followers or begging for something else. He is coming to me for what purpose one should approach me. Genuinely, he is approaching me and Nishrayasai Vishayakalu Sarvadasyal, that I consider that as the most important thing. And then Mahegasmal Gurvartnyanam Sustiram Syal Supushkalam Brahmavaita Dadudiyamvai Adyudiyamvai Giyade Bahudarshibhi. And verse 31, he spoke about that there is one person who should approach a spiritual master and take instructions from him and develop his spiritual life in that way. He mentioned in a very general terms, right? So with that, chapter 9 finished. And then when we came to chapter 10, Krishna came back again and said, actually going to these 25 spiritual masters, 24 plus one's own body, the 25th, it's not necessary, he said to Uddhava. It's not necessary because that requires a very higher consciousness like King Yadu has done, which is not possible for everyone. But if you have one spiritual master, that is enough. But you should follow the Shastram rigidly. And that is why in the 10th chapter you notice Krishna brought about the standard process. Standard process. What is that? Varnashrama dharmam. And then discrimination of karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. And he also said there that importance of cultivating the knowledge. He discussed there. And he said if you look into the verse 4 in chapter 10, we won't go through all the single verses, but if I will just briefly mention these things. If you want to know in detail about it, you have to go back to the old classes. Here he said, Nivrtam karma seveda pravurtam alparastejel jitnyasayam sampravurto nadriyel karma chodanam. He says here, Nivrtam karma seveda pravurtam alparastejel. Even after executing varnashrama dharmam, at some point in time, you have to withdraw from karmam. Karmam is not the goal of life. That's one thing we have to recognize. Karmam is not the goal of life. Karmam is a way to release from karmavasana and to free ourselves from karmam. Krishna is saying here, Nivrtam karma seveda pravurtam alpara tejel. Nivrti karmam, karmam is also divided into pravurtam and nivrtam, isn't it? Pravurtam means what we call as prayas. And nivrtam means what is called shreyas. What liberates us from this material existence is called shreyas. And that is called nivrta karmam. And what will bind us to this world and what will bring misery to us, birth and more, but temporarily give us happiness in this life, that is called pravurtam or prayasa. So, nivurtam karma sevada pravurtam malpara tejel. Krishna says, engage in nivurti activities or shreyas activities and pravartik activity or pravurtam malpara tejel. For my sake, you have to give up all that now. And then what else he says? He says, Jijnyasayam sampravurto nadriyel karma chodanam. That once a jijnyasa or inquisitiveness develops inside, nadriyel karma chodanam. Karmam, you should not pursue the path of karmam anymore. Karmam, you have to withdraw. Because Uddhava is not now at this age. He is 125 years old. And Krishna knew very well after his departure, Uddhava is also ready to leave. There is no point in talking to him about karma yogam now. That stage is gone. That is in the beginning. When you start your spiritual life, all these are important. So at this stage, Krishna has spoken like this. And then in the next verse, he said, he spoke about the qualities of a spiritual master whom one should take shelter of. And that guru's qualities, Krishna is very precisely defined in those verses, isn't it? Yamana Bhishnam Seveda Nayaman Malparakujal Madabhityam Gurim Shandam Upavasidam Adalmagam. Look at that Krishna's words there. Each one of the words are powerfully saying Madabhityam Gurim Shandam Upavasidam Adalmagam. He must have executed his spiritual life with so much understanding that he is Madabhityam. He knows me. In other words, he is realized. When Krishna says he knows me, that's what he means. That he is realized. Madabhijam. And what else? Gurum. Shandam. He is, because of that self-realization, he is so peaceful. Undisturbed by anything what goes on in this world. Madasidam Ubalmagam. He says here that he is as good as me. In other words, Krishna is saying here. And you should serve him. Such a spiritual master. And then Krishna talks about the disciple's quality in the next verse. So, Guru Shishya or spiritual master disciple relationship, Krishna discussed, isn't it? Amani, Amalsaro, Daksha, Narmamo, Nradasauhada, Anasu, Asatvaro, Arthajityasu, Anasuyu, Amokhavak. These are all the qualities of the disciple Krishna is expecting. So, Guru's quality, Krishna said, and disciple's qualities, Krishna says, and he says, if these two meet together, there will be fire, he says. There will be fire from them. And that is what he said in the verse 8. Virakshana stula sushma dehad almekshida swadrik edagmir dairuno dahiyal dahago anya prakashaga. That the fire will develop inside because of their mutual interaction between the guru and the disciple. So like that process Krishna discussed after that, right? So he kept on mentioning this, and in the 13th verses, you will see the 13th verse, Krishna says what will happen to that person. His intelligence he discusses there. He says there, Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhi dinodhimayam gunasam prasudam gunamscha sandahet alpamedal swayam jashamid asamid yathagni. So, Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhi, that disciple whose intelligence is purified and he has developed this Vaisharadi buddhi. We talked about Vaisharadi buddhi a lot before. So you know, understand what it means now, Vaisharathi Buddhi. That his prajna is so pure and clear inside, as soon as it's spoken, whatever spiritual master has spoken, it has started, it has changed him. Vaisharathi Shadu Vishuddha Buddhi. Buddhi is purified. Intelligence has already become pure by, due to the instructions from the spiritual master. And what kind of purification is that? Dunodhi Mayam Gunasamprasudam. That Maya from which all the three modes of material nature is coming out, Dunodhi. It is above that. It is beyond this Maya. Understanding is pure, beyond the Maya. That means when we hear something, when we hear something, when complicated things, when Krishna discusses, it doesn't click easily for us, isn't it? Why is that? Because of the, our prajna is not pure inside. The mind which is completely absorbed in matter all the time, in all kinds of rubbish, and then we want to understand spiritual matters also with that. That is not possible. That's not possible. This is why Krishna is saying here that Dunodhi Mayam Guna Samprasudam. That this Vaisharathi Buddhi is such, one who has Vaisharathi Buddhi, he will capture like this, anything what is spoken. When Upanishads are saying something, they'll capture that like that. Or when Guru, spiritual master is talking to them something, they can capture it very quickly. So, but in the conditioned state, normally, most of the people will find it difficult, because then question will start, how can, you see, so many things, funny things happens in spiritual life also. That also you must understand. In spiritual life, when any tattvam is to be given to somebody, in order to get that tattvam, understanding into another person's heart, the teacher will use examples, various examples. Like, you know, the example of the snake and the rope, or the examples of Gadagasham and Matagasham we talked about on in Bhagavad Gita. That means the pot breaking and the sky becoming one inside, outside and all that. So what normally happens to most of the people is, when they hear the example, they can understand. They cannot understand the tattvam what was spoken. So what they will do, they'll hold on to the example. And they will start questioning based on this example. You must always remember, in Shastram, whenever any example is given, it is not absolute. There is no example which will fit in 100% with the Shastric truth. There is no example like that. Only by giving an example, it makes a little easier for you to connect with the truth. That's why examples are given. But what normally happens is, we will understand the example easily. Snake and the rope, I understood. And then we ask questions with snake and rope, but nothing to do with the truth. That he is not able to understand. That means you have not understood the example. Example is there only to help you to understand the philosophical understanding, or in other words, tattvam. So tattvam, to get clarity, this example may help. Not necessarily, may help. It is the closest thing what they are using to explain the tattvam. Tattvam is a difficult thing to understand. It's always difficult. That is why, and that too, why does this happen? Because there is no prajna shuddhi inside. There is no pit inside. And the question will immediately come back. As soon as you say, they'll immediately say, they'll ask the question. They have not even thought about this. Before the question, they'll vomit out. And this is our foolishness. That's why they call us, given this first class title, Mudha. Mudha means not able to think even. To sit, give some time to think through it and come to some understanding of it. Before that, don't fire the question straight away. Shastram is like that. Sages did not come to these conclusions in an hour or two. It took ages. Lifetime they have thought about this. We forget all that. We are thinking, oh, I should be able to understand. I'm an intelligent person. I should know what he's talking about. And this is how our mind, the false ego inside, is telling us this way. And we start trying to capture it. It won't come like that. Tattva jitnyasana almanam. That is why whenever Krishna has spoken in Ekadasham, most of the things what he has spoken remains unknown. You'll see in the 12th chapter now more coming like this. And when whatever he is saying, everything is unknown entity to us. Completely unknown things. And therefore, Uddhava says something, Krishna answers something else, and then whole thing becomes all complicated, confused, and then you will say eventually, no, I'm just leaving everything and go. That's what will happen. No, we should not do that. In spiritual life, we have to be that shanti inside. It's necessary to, that is why I'm saying we have to minimize all other useless activities. I can't have everything in this life. Either you can have what you're looking for, if it's for Krishna, yet for Krishna's sake, you have to sacrifice so many other things in life. It's not possible to have everything. A first-class material life, a first-class social life, a first-class spiritual life, all these things is not going to happen. It has not happened till now to anybody. So at least from that, we should understand that it's not going to happen to me either. So that's the realization from that. If I do all these things, what will happen is I will have none of them first class, it will be all third class at the end. Material life will be third class because you will not put all your effort in material life either. Spiritual life will be third class because you are not putting any effort in that direction either. Social life will be third class because there also you are struggling all the time. Inside somebody is telling you what's the use of all doing all this nonsense going on. So now everything will become useless at the end. So that is why Krishna, when Krishna speaks something, we have to give that gravity of thought behind it. Why has Krishna said this? And the more deeper we go into it, you will recognize the validity of Krishna's statement and will be able to respect that statement and deal with it accordingly. Acharyo Radyasa Adhyasyal Andevasyuttararani Talsandhanam Pravajanam Vidhyasandhi Sukhavaham. Verse 12 in chapter 10. Acharyo Arani Radyasyal. He gave perfect examples. Like Acharya and Shishya. How? Uttararani and Purvarani. The two pieces of wood. How you start rubbing them each other. What happens? Krishna says, Andevasuttararani. From there, fire will come. Talsandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasandhi Sukhavaha. It is exactly the same thing, Krishna says, happens between a spiritual master and the disciple. So, when spiritual master and the disciple interact with each other, from that interaction, what will happen is, these doubts all inside goes away, and the fire of spiritual knowledge will burn inside in that disciple's heart, and that is blissful, and it is a very peaceful situation for the disciple, and that is the fire he is talking about. So, like that, whole of 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about various things. And we also saw in the 10th chapter, Krishna talked about those who, Mimamsakas, isn't it? We spoke about Mimamsakas. If you remember that word, I don't know. Mimamsakas, remember Mimamsakas? Mimamsakas are those who consider, who believes in Karmagandam very seriously. And Krishna refuted their argument of Karmagandam also in the same chapter, in the chapter 10. So then he talked about all those who goes to the heavenly planets, and he spoke about their destiny as well at that time. Having said all that, gunasrajanti karmani, he says here, guno anasrajade gunan, jivastu gunasamyukto bhunte karma phalanyaso. In chapter 10, verse 31, Krishna says there, gunasrajanti karmani, all karmam is coming from gunam, from three modes of material nature. Jivastu gunasamyukto, and jiva is nothing but a mixture of this gunam and karmam. That's what is keeping him going, karma phalanyaso. And then in verse 32 and verse 33, Krishna spoke about some important things. What is that? Yavat syal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatvam atmana nanatvam alpano yaval paratantryam tadaivahi. He says, as long as you are under the control of the three modes of material nature, then it is very difficult. This variegatedness in the creation will always be there. You won't go beyond than that. Nanatva Alpanoyaval, and so long as you are experiencing this variation, why variegatedness is trouble, is this. That variegatedness means that you are seeing the object not in its original form. Original form is soul. He has accepted different form and body and different species and different plants, trees and different birth he has taken, isn't it? The soul is the one that is in everyone common, isn't it? That is his original. We see somebody, the actual person is the soul inside, not that body that we see outside. So, nanatum alpano yavat, but we are seeing nanatum, why? That name and the form of that person has sown some vasanas inside us. We start reacting with that person with that understanding, isn't it? Nanatum alpano yavat. Krishna says, as long as it is like that, paratantryam tadaivahi, you are completely under the clutches of material nature. You have no freedom there. That's what he is saying there. Yavatsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatum alpana. Nanatum alpana yaval paratantryam tadaivahi. It is definite, he says. He is no independent. He is completely under the control. Then he says, next one. Yavadasyad asudandratvam tavad isharado bhayam ya edal samubhasinam te muhyanti shijarpidaha. He also said that as long as things, situations are like that, yavadasyad asudandratvam, that means you are not free from this influence of the modes of nature, tavad isharado bhayam, you have to sit and be frightened of God all the time. And then you have to keep praying, give me this, give me that. Because of the fear inside, tomorrow what will happen? So therefore all this fear will develop in a person. Yavad isharado, tavad isharado bhayam. Then, and then, ya edal samavatidam te muhyandi shujarpidaham. And then he becomes shucha. It means he becomes distressed in life and he cries for life in that way. We discussed all these things before. So it was at that point Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. Guneshu vartamana abhi dehadesh anabhavada gunerna badhyade dehi badhyadeva katham vibho. He said that how can it be that you have spoken to me all these things in the same body, in one body, you are saying to me that the Paramatma who is present in that, he is completely liberated. He is completely liberated. And he doesn't experience any happiness or distress, birth or death, old age, any such thing, or hunger, thirst, ragam, dvesham, none of them happens to him. Krishna, when he sits inside as Paramatma, he does not experience any of these things. And same Krishna is entered inside as Jivatma also, and he is experiencing everything. Everything he is experiencing. How this can, sthitayor eka dharmini, that in one body, the same personality has ascended in two forms, and one is experiencing all the misery, other one is completely free from everything. This is not clear to me. Uddhava asked that question, didn't he? In answer to that, Krishna started the 11th chapter. 11th chapter, Krishna answered in that way. What did he say? Bandho mukta idhi vyakya gunadome namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Uddhava, actually, if you have understood me what I was saying, this bandham and mukti, what you are referring to, jivatma and paramatma, in reality, it has no existence. Why? Gunasya maya mulatval. Maya has created that. It's not my directly, it's not the nature of the soul. Whether it is jivatma or paramatma, it is not the nature of the soul to have it. But what happens? Gunasya maya mulatval. Maya mulam, because of the maya, he experiences these things. Paramatma, maya doesn't touch, jivatma is infected with maya. That's all. Name moksho na bandhanam. Therefore, strictly speaking, there is no such thing as moksham and bandham. Bandham and moksham, liberation and bondage, doesn't exist really. After that, what did Krishna say? Krishna gave a lot of things to mention to Uddhava. He said, ega seva mamamshasya jiva seva mahamade. Fourth verse, bandho savidya nadir vidya cha tathedara. And he also said that Atma has no nanatvam, soul is one, but we experience this variegatedness in this creation according to our state of vision, where we have reached. Not in the soul, there is no difference. It is from which state you are looking at it, you will see these differences accordingly. So that is the way Krishna presented here. And then he gave the example of those two birds sitting on the tree, isn't it? Suparnavedu, verse 6. Suparnavedu, sadushau sakayo, yadrachayedu, kataneedauja vrkshe, egastayo, khadadi pipalanan, anyu nirannobi belena buyan. So he talks about these two birds. We saw that one bird sitting on the tree, unaffected by anything. And we also mentioned about the other bird, Jivatma, how he started biting the fruit. As much as he finds the fruit is sweet, he will start jumping down, down, down from one branch to another. He keeps coming down, one branch to another. When he bites a fruit which is bitter, then he goes back, immediately goes back to the other bird, to looking for help. So exactly the same way what we do in this world, our life, it is talking about us only. But through examples again, Krishna is presenting to us. So throughout Upanishads, this is a normal procedure. They'll give you examples. But you should not hold on to examples and saying, oh, where is the bird? If I start looking for the bird inside, you won't find any bird there. And if you're asking me which branch is he sitting and all that, there's no answer to that. But this is how we interpret things. This is the nature of our way of studying books. That's how we are used to, isn't it? We want something which will bring us something which we can capture with our mind. That's what we are looking for. Spiritual knowledge is not something you can capture with the mind. That's what we say while sitting in satsangam, don't try to get it into your mind. Mind is not the thing that is receiving the message. The soul is what who is receiving the message. If you think that the mind is receiving the message, you have misunderstood everything. What we normally do, we make all the notes, everything nicely. And then, because you'll say, if you say, don't make any notes, you'll say, oh, I'll forget otherwise, he says. You know why it is? Because the chittavritti inside is so strong. Mind is so restless inside that he is fearful of his own mind. That is the reality. When somebody is fearful of his own mind, what does he do? He goes for external help, looking for birds, books and papers and everything to make a note. Then he is thinking that, okay, when I go back, when I get a bit time, I will read it and think about which never happens anyway. I've seen in many satsangams like this happening. Many satsangams. They'll be very enthusiastic. You will see that they're very serious, aren't they? When you see them, you'll think that they're very serious people. They'll have all the books, notebooks, calculator, and whatever you need. Everything they'll have. Mobile phone also with it together. And they, whatever you are say, they'll record it, they'll write it down. And they'll record it also, they'll write it down also, the points. They don't want to miss anything. And they'll take it home. By the time they get home, million other prarabdham is waiting there. So this whole thing is forgotten there. Then when do they remember the next time? Next time when they go for the next satsangam, they will take the book and see, what did he say last time? It's nothing clear to me. This is he's coming to the next class with this understanding. So what will happen? What will happen? So this is what I'm saying. In satsangam, nobody takes notes. It is a mandatory requirement of satsangam. Then it's not satsangam anymore. It's a lecture then. We must remember that Krishna is talking through somebody to you from Shastram. Krishna is sitting inside you and listening the Shastram, what's been spoken. This is why at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very clearly mentioned. What was that? That mention. He says there, isn't it, in that verse, Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adulam jnana pradiva pura todruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya todruvina. That you sat there in Brahma's heart, and you instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to him, and he heard. And you heard, sitting in Brahma's heart, what you have spoken to him as Krishna. Sitting in Srinarada, you have sat in Srinarada Maharshi's heart, and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma, from whose heart you spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam never leaves Krishna. It's always with Krishna. It doesn't go to anybody. This is why that verse is spoken. Kasmayena vibhasidoyam adulo jnana pradipa pura. This is how Krishna illuminates a person from inside. He enters into the heart. When he hears, if it is spoken properly, Krishna is speaking, Krishna is listening. Yogi Indraya tadatmanada bhagavadradaya karunyadam sachodvam vimalam vishogam amradam satyam param dhimahi. Because it is satyam param dhimahi, it's all truth. Nothing to tinge of maya is there. There is not even a touch of maya in there. Satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavadam begins with satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavadam finishes with satyam param dhimahi. There is only satyam that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavadam. So while in satsangam, this is another important thing. That if your mind get absorbed in thing, then you'll lose it. You won't lose it. Because this is what Krishna is talking about satsangam. Satsangam is not just making notes and PowerPoint presentation. That is not satsangam. Satsangam is purely Krishna speaking through someone, Krishna sitting inside and listening. That is satsangam. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. So from there you can understand, when Krishna sits inside and starts listening, you are really listening. When you are listening with your mind and the ears, you are not listening. You are actually, mind is partly here, partly at home, partly at the office, partly in the festival, partly somewhere else. The mind is going on like this. So with this mind, if you hear about Krishna, nothing will happen. Mind cannot comprehend this. That's why mind intelligence, why does it say like that? In the Upanishads, there is a statement, isn't it? That mano vachama gocharam. Mind cannot capture the truth, nor the words, nor your eyes, nor your intelligence. Nothing can capture the truth. Truth is above all these things. So therefore, realization of the truth is realization with the soul. Soul listens. All you have to do is to sit and listen. That's all it is required. That is the point Krishna is making there. So after talked about all that, Atmanamanyasa Vedavidvan Avipalado Naduvipalada Yo Avidyaya Yuksadu Nityabaddho Vidyamayo Yasadu Nityamukta. He spoke about the nature of a person who has realized the truth, isn't it? He spoke about that also. That Atmanamanyam Yasa Vedavidvan Avipalado Naduvipalada. That he says there, that the for him who has realized, the soul only matters, nothing else. And abhipalado nadupipalada. Then he says there that that was the difference between the two birds. One pipaladan and other one is abhipaladan. And pipaladan is the one who is eating. Abhipalada, one who is not eating the fruits either. One who doesn't eat. In other words, he is referring to the jivatma and paramatma. And what will happen to him? That one is eternally, when he is in the jiva consciousness, when he is a pipalada, he is always eating that fruit and enjoying the results. In other words, he is saying that he is eating, enjoying his karmam. Karmam he is constantly performing and enjoying the happiness and distress from karmam. In other words, he is bound in the karmic cycle, karma chakram. Whereas the other person, he is never touched by karmam at any situations. He says there, because that person is free from avidya. And this jiva is completely in avidya. The Krishna is pointing out the differences between the two. Having said that, then he said the very important words after that. What was that? Dehastho bina dehastho vidvan svapnad yathotida adehastho bina dehastha kumadi svapnadrag yatha. That dehastho bina dehastha, he is already, although he is in the bodily identity, he is not there. Who? The one who is realized. He is not there anymore. Dehastobi na dehasta. He is not in that body anymore. Vidvan sopnad yathotida. He has already woken up from that state, from this dream already. Then he says, adehastobi na dehasta. On the opposite side, what happens is, somebody who has left the body, adehastobi, still he is dehasta, he is within that body. How? Kumati sopnadrik yatha. That one how he is experiencing in the dream state. So Krishna gave all these things he instructed Arjuna after this, isn't it? In this chapter 11. And then Krishna talked about a few other things that the nature of I mentioned to you of a realized soul. That's many verses after that. Isn't it? Many symptoms of a realized soul. That is what we were talking about. And then Krishna also said a couple of things. Gam dugda doham asadinja bhairyam deham paradhinam asal prajamcha. Verse 19. Vittam tudurthigadam angavajam hinam maya rakshati dukkha dukhi. Krishna says there, that is in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 19. Krishna says, somebody is very unfortunate when he falls into this situation. Raining?
No.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, yeah. Okay. Gandukta doham asadincha bhayam. That one who has to maintain a cow which doesn't give milk, and one whose wife is not very cooperative in his life, deham paradhinam. Body is very much under the control of others. Asal prajamcha. Added to that, if he gets some children also who will give you only headache. In addition to that, he worked very hard all his life and earned a lot of money as well. Only thing is, he can't do anything with the money. He is stuck with that. And if that happens, Krishna says, Vajam heenam maya rakshati dukkha dukhi. And after got trapped into all these things, paradandriyam means that paradhinam. In other words, whole life the body has been used by others for their benefits. Earlier children as parents, and then the wife and children, and then the society, they are using you all the time for different purposes. You never were able to escape from that because you have accepted this as life. That is your misfortune, Krishna says. That deham paradhinam asal prajamcha vittam tvatirthikritam. And then, not only that, you wasted all your time in making money to feed all these personalities in this world. Vittam tvatirthi kritamangam vajam heenam maya rakshati dukkha dukhi. And then, added to that, what happened? If somebody has told you something about the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, you didn't even care to hear about it. You completely, and your words were all nonsense, what you have spoken whole lifetime. If that happens, Krishna says, Uddhava, I don't consider anyone more unfortunate than him. Saying that, Krishna concluded that verse there. And then he mentioned a few more things. And it was at that time that Krishna started stressing on bhakti at this time, isn't it? He started talking about bhakti. In the verse, immediately in the verse 20, 21, 22, 23, we kept on discussing this a couple of weeks back. He saw that what happened, then Krishna says, if you cannot realize the truth through tattva jinyasa, tattva chinta, in other words, or cultivating the knowledge, if you cannot do it, what I have spoken to you before, Krishna puts it like this to Uddhava. If you can't do that, try to execute your activities in such a way based on the Vedic injunctions. In other words, do your duty in such a way without any attachment to the results and without ownership. He gave that option in verse 22. Then he said, if that is not possible, Shraddhalurme kathashunin subhadra logabhavani, that hear about me, which is satsangam, he's talking about. Hear about me, and in that way, gayam anusmaran karma janmaja abhinayan muhu. You will, very soon, you will acquire the purity inside to understand the truth. Krishna said like that. And then Krishna said in verse 24, Krishna says to him, if you execute all these activities, dharmam, artham, kamam, everything for my benefit, my happiness, you will eventually achieve that happiness. And in verse 25, Krishna says to Arjuna, Uddhava, all these things what I have spoken, you can achieve through satsanga. That's how Krishna concluded. So you saw now, from beginning 7th chapter where we started, right up to this point, how Krishna has brought up to satsangam. So here with satsangam, Krishna finishes here, satsanga labdhaya bhaktya maimam ya upasita savai me darshanam sadbi anjasa vindade padam. That simply through satsangam, it is the most, it's the easiest process where one can attain this state of bhakti, devotion, he said. Once he's reached that state of bhakti, he says here that that devotee will reach that state very easily. The state what Krishna has spoken about before. So then that Uddhava asked these three questions, isn't it? Three verses, 26, 27 and 28, that I want to know about this devotee's nature, whom you are talking about as sadhu or satsangam. With whom should I have satsangam? What is their nature? The personalities, whom should I associate with? Or how to identify a jnani or a great devotee, Mahajanam, Mahalma. How do I identify them? So when Uddhava asked that question, Krishna spoke about the qualities of such a person, which is beginning from verse 29. Three verses. Kribalu Ardhadroha Divichu Sarvadehinam Satyasaro Anavadhyatma Sama Sarvobhagaraga. And the next two verses as well. So those three verses, Krishna spoke about the qualities of a person whom one should associate with. These are the qualities of a person. He spoke about that. Then he also mentioned that this is about the Sajjanam or the Mahalma to whom to associate with. Then he said thereafter that somehow or the other, whether you know the truth or you don't know the truth, one who surrenders unto me and take my shelter, Uddhava, he is one of the best devotees I consider, provided he surrenders unto me. He surrenders unto me, says Krishna. That does not mean that I just surrendered everything and I got initiated and I got a name and all that. That's not what he's talking about. The proper surrender, Sharanagadi, what we discussed before, as mentioned this many times, Sharanagadi happens only once in life. There's only once it happens. If it happens, there is no question after that, what should I do now? Sharanagadi means the complete wiping out the false ego from inside once for all. There is never again another false ego building up inside with about himself in any way. So that state of consciousness is surrender. That surrender has happened to him. If that happens, Krishna says he is the best. Because he has reached where he has to reach without any endeavor. The goal of all these things, what Krishna spoke about before, is to wipe out that false ego from inside, isn't it? Which is so strong inside. And this process and procedures were given only to get to this point. But by surrendering unto me, Krishna says, with Sharanagati, full surrender, he has given up everything. Everything he has lost. He has no more ahankaram inside, false ego inside, and he is very dear to me. Krishna says, I mentioned this before, that two processes. Either one surrenders wholeheartedly. Bhakti is completely dependent on this one point, surrender. Surrender is the key for bhakti. Whereas Shraddha is the key for knowledge. If one cannot surrender everything, one should go through the other process also, Shraddha. You should become serious about it. Shraddha should develop inside. Neither of them are easy. Now, we should not misunderstand now. Or sometimes people say that, oh, bhakti is much easier. This jnanam is very, very difficult process. They say like that, isn't it? But the history shows it is not so. Both are equally difficult. They give you an example. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this story of Rahugana and Jadabharata, isn't it? Jadabharata meeting with each other. Jadabharata instructed Rahugana at a particular point in time when he knew Rahugana was matured enough to receive the instructions. So when he received the instructions, Rahugana committed a big blunder, didn't he? What was that blunder? He did not identify who Jadabharata was. That was the first blunder he made. Why was this told in Bhagavatam? Because we are also committing the same mistake in our own life. When we start judging people without knowing them who they are, and started seeing that, thinking of them in a way which is detrimental to us, you will never see a Mahatma in this world. It will be very, very difficult. And Rahugana, when he saw Jadabharata, the thoughts that went through Rahugana was that this person doesn't look as though, the only he is qualified is to carry my palanquin. Nothing more than that. Imagine the offense he has done at that time. That he thought of Jadabharata, that he was only qualified to carry the palanquin on his shoulders. And this is how jnanis are in this world. Jnanis don't advertise, I am a jnani, come to me and pay your respects to me. No, jnanis move around this world in this way. So whenever all the great jnanis, if you take, they were like this. They did not walk around on this planet with this declaration that I am a jnani, or come to me, I will give you the initiation and I'll take you back, come back to Godhead. All these kind of promises they never made to one person anytime. This is a very, very, very solemn process. It takes its own time. It takes reaches needs that maturity inside, both for the jnani as well as for the person who is seeking the truth. And when you can see, when that relationship builds up on the proper level, how it matures into perfection later. So in this case, what has happened is that our Jadabharata was moving around. Rahugana saw him, did not think, because Rahugana could not understand anything about him. So engaged him in carrying. But later on, when he realized, how did that thought come to him? That is association. That few moments of association, even though it was done with a wrong understanding, due to the power of that association from Jadabharata, the light started coming up inside, little bit. That, what have I done? Rahugana, imagine, he was a king, and he has to surrender to this someone in the street who is wearing such dirty clothes, and who nobody will take serious note of. No property, no values, nothing. He is just wandering in the street like a mendicant. And the king jumps out of his... You should read in the Bhagavatam that chapters. When he jumped out of the palanquin, first thing what he did, he completely fell down at his feet and he says to him some of the things. I thought, are you the Kapila Maharshi whom I am looking for? Are you the Kapila Maharshi whom I am looking for? This is the words that has come from Rahugana's mouth. How did this happen? That is the mercy of the Mahalpa, Jadabharata's mercy. That immediately that ignorance gone and little bit the light came out from inside. To give him the understanding, here is a Mahatma right in front of you. approach him properly. That thought happened inside. And this thought doesn't happen to us, therefore we are here. Still. And this is the way the spiritual life works. There is no other way. This is the only way it works. That satsangam power Krishna has talked about, isn't it? This is that power he is talking about. That one surrenders and surrender to the right person at the right time with the right consciousness. That's what Raghuvana has done. And the result was that you saw how Jadabharata chastised him at that time. For all his ignorance, one after the other, he cut through the ignorance and he told him, Yanasin Obasanaya Shirena. He says to Raghuvana, if you want to keep this realization all the time within you, Yanasin Obasanaya Shirena, this knowledge of this knowledge is like a sword. And you have to sharpen it all the time. Keep it sharpened. And if you keep it sharpened and keep it with you, with this, you can cut the knots of material life or the forest of material life and go back to the spiritual world. That is how beautifully our Jadabharata spoke to this to Raghuvana. So Raghuvana came out of illusion like that, released from all his ignorance. So Krishna says then our Raghuvana asked him, Jadabharata, that how did this all happen to you? I wanted to understand this. So he says, Krishna Archana Prabhavyo no Jahadi. Then he started talking about his previous life, isn't it? Two lifetimes before who he was. I was King Emperor Bharat and I had to fall down and got this body of the deer. And then again I left the deer's body in Gandaki River. And after that I had to accept another body. In this body I have become very conscious what I want to do. And therefore I have not opened my mouth. I kept it tight. Why? If you open the mouth, there will be association with others. All relationship builds up in this world through talking, isn't it? No, nothing else. So if you cut this, you tighten up, then there won't be any problem in this world. That is a very high state of realization. That he has already reached the realized state and he is waiting for his prarabdha shariram to fall. Jadabharata is waiting for, he knows that I have one more birth and this prarabdha shariram I have to wait till it goes. So he was willing to wait and he gave up. So let me not create any more further karma vasanas in this body. I won't engage in any activity. I won't use any of these senses for any other purpose. So only then, if ever he had to, Jnani will only talk if he thinks that what he is talking is of some benefit to somebody. No idle talk. Never Jadabharata has spoken anything in idle. When he realized, he first thought, should I instruct this person or not? That was the first thing that came up into his mind. He looked at Raghuvana and found out, very learned person. He was a king, wasn't he? He was a learned person. Raghuvana was a learned person. So Jadabharata thought that this person is qualified. He has knowledge of Shastram in him. But then, he has a lot of bodily concept of Hangaram is also very strong inside. And then he decided that perhaps if I instruct him properly, this might help. They won't speak otherwise. They weigh up everything before they talk to somebody. When we looking for such personalities, Mahatmas, what do? We go there and we find out from somebody, what time is he giving darshan, we say. Listen to him. Then we go and sit there. And while sitting there, we are judging him, evaluating him. Is he really a Mahatma or not? This is how we are. So the Mahatma sits there, and knowing this very well, there are a lot of Mahatmas also like that, in the same category, like who is coming for the darshan type. So they together make up the right combination, the Mahatmas and the Chelas together. So this is going on. So Mahatma is not someone you can make an appointment and go and see him on the mobile, call telling him that I'm coming in such and such a time. Will you be there? That's not Mahatma relationship. Mahatmas are there in this world. One who is searching after the truth, he will, when he is ready, when he is qualified, Krishna will arrange that for that person to meet that Mahatma. That is the law of spiritual life. That is the fundamental law in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not that you can plan anything. It is in Krishna's hands. According to the degree of surrender, Krishna gives that opportunity to realize the truth. So, after having said all these things, we are saying about Krishna, Raghuvana, Krishna, Jadabharata Maharshi says to him that the Raghuvana, the king is, the thing is this, I had go through all these things, eventually I got here now, and now Krishna Archana Prabho no Jahadi. That thing, I served Krishna in my previous life, that has followed me. That has followed me. The result of that is I am here now, like this. I am waiting to go back. As soon as this body is finished, I am gone. And before Raghuvana can say anything, he left the place and walked out. Didn't ask where you are going, what you are going to do. Nothing. It's finished. He has gone. Like Parikshit was, Sudeva Goswami did to Parikshit also in the same way. They won't tell anyone, oh, I am going there. What do? We take the phone number of the Mahatma. Can we call you sometime later? In this way, we deal with them. But great Mahatmas, they don't do such things. They, once the business is done, they don't wait anymore anywhere for anyone's appointment or anything. They're gone. Their purpose is finished. So that's what has happened there. What I was saying this was that Krishna spoke about all these things to Uddhava, and having spoken about Mahatmas, he spoke then about the how to develop bhakti inside. Because he said that through bhakti you purify and you'll come to a stage when you'll get to see this Mahatma. The satsangam will happen to you. So how to develop that bhakti, that process was discussed in the many verses right up to 41, 42, all those verses is all almost close to the end of the chapter. And at the very end of chapter, Krishna said, in verse 48, in chapter 11, Krishna says, Prayana bhakti yogena salsangena vinodhava no upayo vidyade sadring prayanam hi sadamaham. That after when Krishna spoke about how to develop bhakti, that question developed, came up. And Krishna spoke all these different things. And then he thought he would help Uddhava with a final instruction. He said to Uddhava, Uddhava, even though I have given you all these things, easier than all that things is satsangam. And he finishes this whole chapter, in this chapter of chapter 11, finally with this importance of satsangam. Isn't it? No, so satsangam has followed all the way through. Now, how we got to satsangam? That's what we were talking about. Isn't it? From the beginning of the instructions in chapter 7, when Uddhavadesham started, step by step, Krishna brought Uddhava through various things. Isn't it? So, hearing all these things, Krishna is looking at Uddhava. What is his state now? So, Uddhava at this point says to Krishna, I am more confused now. That was the answer from Uddhava. You will see that in the next few verses. If you look into verse number 16 in chapter 12, verse number 16. What did he say? Samshayam shrunvado vacham tava yogeshwareshwara na nivartada almasto yena brahmyadi me manaha. That Uddhava says, Krishna, that you have told me in the beginning that based on Shruti and Smriti, I have to live. And then you told me, don't worry about that, to understand all Shastram and everything, Tattva Jnyasa and Tattva Chindanam and all that. Give up all that and surrender unto me. You have said like that. But after hearing all these things, which is better? Just like we ask the same question, isn't it? What is the shortcut for everything? So Arjuna, Uddhava is also asking, these two instructions you have given to me, it's given me a little bit of confusion in my mind. Vairudhyam. Vairudhyam means contradictions are developing in my mind. Conflict is developing. Could you clarify that for me? And it is then that Sri Bhagavan Vaja starts. And this Bhagavan Vaja, if you read these verses, you won't make head and tail of what Krishna has asked, which we will discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Father,
yeah.
Isn't that another rookie?
Yeah.